You're listening to the Punk News Podcast for the week of May 14th, 2013. I'm Adam White. I'm recording in Niagara Falls, Ontario. I guess I'm your host tonight, for whatever that means. Joining me on tonight's show, as you are intimately familiar now, we have Mr. Chris Moran out of Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
And Mr. Greg Simpson, Mr. Outdoor Velour himself out of, I don't know, where are you, out of Bloomington?
Bloomington, Indiana. We've done enough of these, Adam. Come on, you know.
I know. I know where everyone is.
And you're one of the staffers I've actually met in person.
Now. I know. We had a very nice breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Some hash, some bacon. That's good stuff out there in shitty old Niagara, New York.
There was Niagara, New York, or Buffalo? Or, I don't remember. Was it Buffalo?
I thought they still call it Niagara Falls, but it was the New York version. I don't know. Either way, it was pretty ghetto.
It was, but the food was good. So
it was.
Yeah. You know what? I'm really worried. People have gone through like a whole month of having John Gentile just go fucking bonkers on this show. And I don't have any. I don't have any wacky zaniness that I'm going to do it. So this is
let's go.
Yeah. So this is the Quiet Storm version of the Punk News Podcast. We're gonna listen to some Smokey Robinson, and we're just gonna.
What the fuck was that?
Oh, that worked.
you have sound effects now, finally.
This is a Moroccan spring drum, because I'm a music nerd like that.
Does anybody have, like, you know, a spring that, you know, goes like boing, or like, you know, a foghorn or anything like that?
I'll look into it. I got GarageBand open right now.
I'm recording in a laundry room, so I have the magical sounds of laundry.
Yeah, the acoustics sound great over there.
Yeah. So speaking of the magical sounds of laundry, well, that was bad. I didn't mean that. Okay, let's talk about Black Flag here. I guess it's Black Flag. I don't know if I even feel right calling it Black Flag. I guess it is. I have to accept that.
We should start calling it the legal version of Black Flag.
Yes, the band legally known as Black Flag.
There you go.
The artist has unveiled a music video for the second single from their upcoming record. The song in question is titled The Chase, and you can find the video on Punk News. There's no word yet on the title or the release date of said record. Now, this is, of course, the version of Black Flag that features Mr. Greg Ginn. And Mr. Ron Reyes on, I never know if I'm pronouncing his name right, on vocals, and a bunch of other people that I can't name off the top of my head right now. And I suppose is as legitimately Black Flag as anyone else is legitimately Black Flag, except that, you know, happening now instead of years ago when Black Flag was a going concern. And I guess that's what everyone's real issue is. What do you guys think of this song? I hate to say it, but like, if you take the whole Black Flag thing out of it and just said, hey, Adam, here's the single from this, you know, local punk band, what do you think? I'd be into it. But, you know, context is everything.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, Reyes was in Black Flag and his original stint for how long?
It was like 45 minutes.
Right. Something like 6 months, right? Cause
yeah.
I mean, everyone thinks of Rollins or, you know, Keith Morris. And you got the other guys who were in it for a minute. And for me, the voice makes the band. I mean, yeah, you hear the guitar and you're like, yeah, that's Greg Ginn. But it's more voice than anything that makes it for me. So calling it Black Flag and then hearing a guy who is barely in Black Flag does take it down a notch for me. But like you said, yeah, if I just heard it without seeing text that it was Black Flag. Oh, yeah, not bad.
Chris, any thoughts on?
All right. Well, I mean, yeah. If somebody just like put some headphones on me and said, "Hey, listen to this," I'd be like, "Yeah, not bad." But that's where I'm gonna end the positive, because there's so much wrong with this. And aside from the obvious, which is it's just Greg Ginn just totally destroying the legacy of that band. Like let me talk about the video. What the fuck is up with that link at the bottom of it the entire time? I mean, Jesus, it's like a GeoCities link too or something. I mean, that's just the start, and then it's like they edited this thing in Windows Movie Maker or something. It's god awful, and I mean, not yeah, even really god awful in like a cool like, hey, that's like shitty but cool. It's just bad.
Yeah. It really falls over that line between like, you know, purposefully DIY and like horribly DIY.
It's not ironic at all.
Yeah, it's not it's not lo-fi enough. Like, it's not like VHS tape scrambled, like tracking, you know, going up and down. It's not lo-fi enough to be cool, and it's not hi-fi enough to be acceptable for what people are used to seeing from bands these days.
You know what I think? You know what I think the story behind this video is, and this is just my opinion. This is not the opinion of punknews.org. Is Greg Ginn is so fucking crazy that he didn't want to turn the audio for this over to like somebody to do a decent video, because, you know, he thinks somebody's out to steal his music. So he decided he was going to make this himself. And he, like, you know, watched a YouTube video on how to edit video, or actually, I won't even say that, because you'd find better advice out there than that. He just decided he was going to do this on his own, and he, like, went overboard with some of, like, the really bad, like, Windows effects, and it's just bad.
Yeah. I mean,
so, okay, I guess we should... Actually, I can actually give correct information now that I've amassed the massive powers of Wikipedia here. So yeah, so it's Ginn and Ron Reyes, and then Dave Klein on bass, who plays in Screeching Weasel, and Greg Moore on drums, who played in Black Flag, I guess, in 2003 in one
of
those.
Did you say Greg Moore?
I said Greg Moore.
Greg Moore, that's my fellow
Gregory Moore.
Gregory, my co-host of Two Gregs, One Podcast. He's Greg.
Is he in Black Flag?
I'm going to have to ask him next time we hang out.
you should check, because if so, I'm sorry. Oh, Black Flag, Black Flag, Black Flag. I don't know. This is weird. I mean, it's one of these things that it exists, and I think that's more of a problem than how it sounds. And I hate to say that, because it... You know, it makes it sound like we totally don't really give a shit about what the music is, but yeah, with a band with this much history and this much, you know, riding on their reputation and whatever, it's just, I can't get away from the awkwardness of it. So,
well, to keep us in step with the lack of John Gentile, I'll do a John Gentile impersonation. I think it's great, because you see, Greg Ginn deserves the credit, and he's deserved the right to do what he wants to do, because he is Black Flag. There you go.
Legally, he owns the name. He can do it as he pleases.
Is Black Flag. Oh, boy. So, speaking of old bands doing things that are of questionable worth, that really sounded more mean than I wanted to. This is like Punk News Podcast, where Adam wishes he was more nice. AFI have posted a teaser video, which doesn't actually, as far as I can tell, tease music, but teases the fact that there will be music. And this one is called No Harbingers. It is the latest in a series of posts by the band, which began in April and hinted a new album that should arrive, or we speculate is going to arrive, in September. So the record will be the first since the record Crash Love, which came out in 2009, and in the intervening years, saw members of the band take on work on a bunch of side projects, like Black Audio. I'm not pronouncing that Black. I refuse. Matt Skiba and The Secrets, Black, and more. That's how it's spelled. If you're going to spell it a stupid way, that's how I'm going to pronounce it. Yeah, so anyways.
I had something cut in my throat.
Yeah. So the teaser is just a minute or so long, keeping with the Quiet Storm theme of tonight's podcast. It's basically like some storm footage and a girl falling off a ledge and then some cryptic shit. So, you know, so there you go. I actually have no idea if this new record is going to be kind of a continuation of the band's major label career or if they're going to end up elsewhere. It feels like it's been a long time since they've had something out. I guess really in terms of how modern bands release records, it hasn't been. 2009, I guess, isn't that far away, but yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's been a while. So is there still momentum for AFI? Are they still, you know, packing the halls? Or
I assume they are. I mean, I think there's enough older people that dig them enough just from the nostalgia that will go, and then, you know, they'll have enough cred with kids who dug them when they were, you know, like 15 that are just entering college now who would still probably be interested. But I don't know if they have the same ability to garner new listeners.
Well, it's one of those things where they're probably too, I hate to say this, but they're probably too old at this point for the kids to care really what they're doing, unless they, I don't know, release like a horrible dubstep record. So, you know, they're a known quantity. They're going to play to, I guess, people that, you know, like Black Flag or like AFI. I guess maybe like Black Flag, probably not.
I don't know. As long as you have a tailor that creates clothing in black, and you have like unlimited access to like the Revlon distributor, AFI can always like appeal to the younger kids.
I admit I'm one of those people that has like that AFI nostalgia. Like I'd love if what they release, you know, is at least what I'd consider good, and I would, you know, be totally unashamed to go listen to that and enjoy it or anything. You know, I'm at kind of like a weird stage in my AFI fandom. Like I kind of exist between like the All Hallows EP and, you know, The Art of Drowning. Like that was my time with them, like 99, 2000, I guess Black Cells in the Sunset too. And, you know, there's a lot of people I know, like Aubin on Punk News, you know, were like, you know, they were AFI fans from like, you know, like the Shut Your Mouth era. And that was, you know, that was their thing. So, you know, the 2000 era, I keep saying Black Flag, this is killing me. The 2000 era AFI was almost like a little bit too, I don't know, too cartoony, not hardcore enough. I don't know what the exact complaint was at the time, but people were levying it. And then there was what happened in the major label years, which is everything got way more polished and a little bit electronic at times. And so I don't know who the constituency of AFI fans really they're going to appeal to this time out, unless I just go in a completely different direction. I don't know. Were you guys a fan of the major label stuff at all? Or
I liked, as much as it pains me to say it, I actually did enjoy about half of December Underground. The other one before that with the Girls Not Gray on it, I didn't dig. Then I thought Crash Love was just terrible. It sounded like some really campy, like Smiths meet Joy Division meets Cure.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Some of
that description sounds great. The actual product, though, that's what they were aiming for, it sounds like, but it's just his some of the song, like the music itself is okay. The way he sings, though, is just it's just, I don't know, it's bad.
I heard their old stuff through some compilations and stuff like that, but for some reason or another, I never got into them. The only album I ever bought, because it was probably like $6.99 at Best Buy or something, was Sing the Sorrow. Is that the one?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Was that major label?
Yep.
It was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that one at the time. I can't say I go back to it a whole lot, but I think that's when they started, you know, really slowing down and polishing up. But I think they weren't too polished at that point. I like that one, but I never really kept up with them. Did you like their most recent one before this, Adam? Or either you guys?
I you know what? I sampled, I guess, Crash Love online when it first came out, but nothing stuck with me with it. So, you know, I but I don't remember ever actually acquiring that one with the purposes of owning it or anything. December Underground, again, I found stuff that I liked on it. Sing the Sorrow, I found stuff that I liked on it. But for me, like, the high point was Art of Drowning. So, like that era. And really, that era, if I think about it, like, I think the reason why I was into AFI so much of the time was they were touring with Rancid, and I was a huge Rancid fan. So, you know, you would go to these shows, and it'd be like Rancid, the Distillers, and AFI. At a time when all three of them were kind of releasing cool stuff that was kind of in sync with each other. So, you know, like, that was my era of it, where, you know what, they were, you know, yeah, they did their Misfits impression and stuff like that, but they were still pretty much a punk band. They didn't display the, I think, the level of being a more genre diverse band that they tried to strive for when they were on a major label. Like, that wasn't happening. So, you know, I was cool with it. They were, again, they were playing shows of Rancid, so there was no real illusions as to what they were trying to do.
Right.
Yep.
So, since I cannot get away from messing up band names, we're going to talk about FYF Fest, mainly because there's another Black Flag band playing this. So I'm just going to use this as a chance to screw them up. So FYF Fest, they've announced their 2013 lineup. This year's incarnation of the festival will include 2 days of shows on the August 24th and August 25th in the LA State Historic Park, which is, I'm just going to guess, is in Los Angeles. And it's going to include, on August 24th, bands like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, TV on the Radio, Flag, all in caps, which is Keith, Chuck, Des, Billy, and Steven Egerton performing the songs of Black Flag and, you know, respectfully not calling themselves Black Flag. as well as Deer Hunter, The Breeders performing Last Splash, and a whole bunch of other people on that day. Who else are on that from a punk perspective? Tidal Fight. I just saw it. Joyce Manor. So, yeah. And then the 26th is being headlined by My Bloody Valentine. And it's going to feature a whole bunch of other bands: Viola Tango, MGMT, The Melvins, John Gentile. Hello. Yeah. Le Savoy Fab. I don't know. Who else on here do people care about? Touche Amore, Chick Chick Chick, Baroness. You can find the whole freaking list on Punk News right now. And so that's FYF Fest. Has anyone been to this, or is this way too West Coast for us.
You know, it's a good lineup.
Eastern time zone people here tonight, right? Aren't you, Adam? Are you Eastern time? Yeah, you're Eastern.
Yeah,
we're all Eastern folk. I would drive to a festival of this caliber. It is pretty fucking fantastic of a lineup, but I would not be flying for it. I'm not made of money, though. I would drive probably 12 hours to see My Bloody Valentine. I don't think I'd pay hundreds of dollars for a plane ticket.
Yeah, this sort of may as well be happening on the moon, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, there's other bands on here I should have mentioned. Mets, they're from Toronto. You should listen to Mets. Lemuria.
Maybe I'm like really behind on this, but is this like the return of Baroness, or have they been doing other things?
I don't imagine they've been doing a whole ton.
Is this going to be like their big return? I don't know if they've done any like shows recently. I need to get on the Googles with this one, because that's kind of cool. If you know, for first, regardless.
They've been touring. They're touring.
Okay.
They're starting May 24th in Philadelphia. They're hitting the road with Coliseum. So they'll be playing on the 24th, playing throughout June. They have a festival show in Montreal in August. So, festival shows actually throughout June. So yeah, there looks like they're on the road. They're going. So, the shows they're playing, that they're kicking off on May 2-4 here are, wow, that was a really Canadian thing. You guys don't do that. I'll explain that in a minute. The shows are going to feature the band's new lineup, actually, which features the departure of drummer Alan Bickle and bass player Matt Maggioni, and those roles for Baroness are going to feature new bassist Nick Josh Jost, Nick Jost, and Sebastian Thompson. So this is really their first tour after that harrowing bus crash. God, I can't speak. That happened last year. So anyways, can we talk about May 2 for?
Yeah, and just a note, and I don't know if we reported on this, but I guess Baroness does have two new members. Their bassist, Matt Maggioni, and drummer Alan Blickle both.
Because I just said that.
Oh, you just said that. I'm sorry.
What the hell?
I was reading it. I wasn't listening to you. Yeah. So sorry. I was reading it. This is cool though. I just want to say it's really cool, and I'm really stoked to see that they've kind of like kept it going. That's rad. Sorry.
Redundancy.
Pro gear, pro attitude.
Yeah. So anyways, sorry. I said May 2-4. That's a Canadian thing. We have a holiday that's actually – it's this coming weekend for us, which is Victoria Day, which is a public holiday which is celebrated on the last Monday before May 25th, and it's in honor of Queen Victoria's birthday. So there you go. But anyways, everyone gets the day off work, and a lot of people will hang out and drink. And if you're going to drink, you're probably going to drink a 2-4 of beer, and this is a May 2-4 thing, so everyone just calls the whole weekend May 2-4. No one calls it Victoria Day up here. So when I see May 24th, my brain says May 2-4. Anyways, Canada.
I'm completely lost.
Is it her birthday, or do you just pick a random date to say, yeah, we're not going to work?
Well, it's kind of like it's the close enough date to her birthday that we can have a long weekend.
Sure.
That's what we do with our
presidents. Yeah, okay.
So, make no mistake, she's dead. She died like 100 years ago. So, you know, we just like to drink, and this is a pretty good excuse to do that.
Sure.
Do we have any songs for this podcast?
We'll find some. So let's break here.
Will we find some? Okay, yeah,
let's do an
potentially
acapella.
Play a song right now.
Here's a song, and we're gonna play it right now.
Hey, this is Chris Moran, video editor at punknews.org, and bringing you a new track this week from Captain We're Sinking. The band's been around for a little bit, just actually released a new record this week on Run for Cover Records. That record is called The Future is Canceled, and this track is actually kind of the title track of it. It's also called The Future is Canceled Part 1, so yeah, really great album, great band from, I don't know if they're still hailing from Scranton or if they've moved to Pennsylvania too, but anyways, good guys, always on the road. I believe they're going to hit the road with the Menzingers and Fake Problems, and yeah, so anyways, record's out this week, check it out. This is Captain We're Sinking, The Future is Canceled Part 1. Quiet says, this I will stay.
All right, we're back on the Quiet Storm edition of the Punk News Podcast. Thank you. I didn't know if I had to cue you to do that, or if you just do it instinctively.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's take a few more stories here to discuss on the Quiet Storm edition of the Punk News Podcast. Very cool. All right. Anyways, so Toby Jegg from Red Scare, who is an upstanding guy and also a super annoying prick, has decided that he really needed to be on our ass to post this Elway news, and we'll do it because we love Toby. So anyways, Red Scare gave us some exclusive details about the upcoming album from Elway. The record is titled Leave Taking. And it is due out on June 25th digitally and July 2nd physically. The band is following up their 2011 release Delusions and the 2012 7-inch Hence My Optimism. There are 12 songs on this sucker. I don't believe we've heard any of it yet, but you can find the cover art and the song, the track listing and all this stuff on Punk News. So, any thoughts on Elway, guys? Are you fans? Or
I don't know. Go ahead, dude. I don't have anything.
That record, was it Delusions? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I mean, you know, I it's not in my regular rotation, but I don't have any harsh words to say about the lads. They seem like a decent band. They're doing their thing. And, you know, I'm real curious to hear how, like, the whole, like, John Elway thing ever panned out, because I know he wasn't too stoked about them using his name.
Right, that's the only thing I remember about this band. I don't know if I ever even listened to a song, but that's how I know them.
I think they were a pretty solid little punk band. I'm looking forward to hearing this, because I think that, you know, they're one of those bands that is, you know, they're good enough that they're gonna all of a sudden become really good. And I know that doesn't really make any fucking sense, but I'm thinking of like, what's the name of that band? They sounded like Lawrence Arms. Everyone likes them. Help me out here. They had a very good
You know who they remind me of? Elway reminds me of
Specific is the name of the record.
Banner Pilot?
Banner Pilot to me is, no, hold on. Banner Pilot to me is a very is sort of what I could see this band becoming. Because I remember like the first Banner Pilot thing that came out, everyone was like, oh, this band is amazing, and I was listening to it and I'm like, this is good, but you know, it kind of has like a Dillinger Four vibe that, you know, I could totally satisfy by listening to Dillinger Four or the Lawrence Arms or whatever Midwestern punk band I could listen to at the time. But Banner Pilot got really good.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm saying, is that like Elway is like or at least on the earlier records, was like a perfectly serviceable little punk band that could potentially, you know, become pretty good.
I'll tell you who they remind Elway reminds me of, and I'm just comparing them to another smaller band, but I always confuse the two, is Dikembe. They remind me a lot of Dikembe.
Hmm. All right. I guess I should actually listen to these guys. I probably would like it somewhat. So they're the orgcore, rough voice, melodic kind of thing, yes?
Yeah. I Dikembe's a little more weird and, you know,
right.
I don't want to say experimental, but and then Elway is more, a little more like Adam said, along the rough Midwestern type of thing. But it's I confuse them all the time. Yeah,
I am a rough Midwesterner.
And I'm just bringing Dikembe up now, just because I think this is funny. Dikembe has a 7-inch called Chicago Bulls, and all the songs are like weed references, but like using like members of the Chicago Bulls. Like, it's fucking hilarious.
That's funny. I should check that out.
Yeah, puns and puns and puns.
Oh, there we go. So there you go. Red Scare News, Toby Jegg. Let's move on. So we were just talking about them, so I guess we should continue talking about them, and that's the Larry Arms. They posted a tweet recently, because that's how we announce things, to announce that they had officially entered the studio to begin work on the long-awaited follow-up to 2006's Oh Calcutta, and wow, 2006.
Yeah.
That's a while ago.
Jesus Christ.
So the band they finished writing the album in January. They started demoing earlier this month. They have promised 15 amazing songs and one steaming turd. And they say with confidence that this will be one of their top five albums. So there you go. All three members have been doing all tons of shit in the ensuing years since that last album. Chris McCaughan, I can't pronounce his name.
McCaughan.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have just said McCon or something like that. I think the GH just kind of cancel each
unless,
other
unless
out.
Maybe I'm. Oh, wait. You know, you're right. I always thought it was McCaughan. No, I'm thinking of that McLaughlin group. You're right. I think. Yeah,
okay.
You're right.
Yes. So released solo material recently as Sundowner. Brendan Kelly formed the Wandering Birds. Drummer Neil Hennessy has joined the Smoking Popes and has also been producing at Atlas Studios in Chicago. So all the guys have been doing stuff. Brendan Kelly has like the funniest blog on earth.
Yes.
So there you go. Lawrence Arms stuff is coming up. I am super excited about this. Last year at Pooza Fest, I missed their main show that was at like the big venue, Club Soda, that was there. And I was hanging out in one of the smaller venues watching, I don't know, who I was watching, Austin Lucas or something like that. You know, a bunch of little guys that were playing in one of the smaller venues.
Austin Lucas?
Yeah.
He's from here.
There you go.
Bloomington, yes.
And, him and PJ Bond and Vic Ruggiero from the Slackers and a bunch of them played sets. And then the Lawrence Arms showed up at like 1 a.m. to the little venue and played like a full set that was a secret show. And me and Kira were there, and it was amazing.
Nice.
So that was completely awesome, and you know, because they had already played once, so they were far beyond that in terms of just drinking and general haggardness. So it was really something special. So yeah, I'm super primed for, you know, more Lawrence Arms. So I think if you look at the comments on Punk News, like everyone is. So there you go.
Well, I want to give a random comment about that kind of links to this. This past weekend, I was at Death to False Hope Fest, which many of you know is run by Scotty, who does our theme music, and heard a really, really good band there. And the reason I bring this up is because they were just in the studio with Matt Allison, and were kind of bumped out when the Lawrence Arms came to do their new record. So anyways, I want to give them a shout-out because I thought they were fucking amazing, and you guys should check them out. They're called Gunner's Daughter. Really, really good. Really good. Check them out. They're awesome. And Toby Jag, if you're listening, you should put their record out because it's good.
Toby Jag better be listening. What else does he have to do?
Fucking talk shit about everyone in Chicago and go to Cubs games. That's about it.
Cubs.
Okay, games. You know what? Since we just talked about it, and they are our sponsor. I really gotta say, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Pooza Fest, which kicks off in 2 days, or if you look at the counter on their website, technically 1 day, 20 hours and 3 minutes as of the recording of this. By the time you guys hear this show, Pooza will be on. It's happening in Montreal. It features a huge amount of bands.
My friends are playing there.
Which friends of yours are playing there?
Ringer.
Yep. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are lots of bands, big and small, that are playing this thing. I guess I'm not going to do the full sales pitch because, you won't be able to go there by the time you hear this show. But, you should go check out the Pooza lineup. There's a lot of cool stuff that's playing there. There's a lot of cool little bands that are playing there. And that even if you're not going, you should probably check out bands like School Damage, which are pretty fucking cool. Look up the Punk News article where we talked about like 10 bands you need to hear that are there that are small. Because
are you going again?
I'm not going. I'm not. We had a baby. It was kind of like, I suppose I should, you know, be with the baby. So
what a good dad.
I know.
One of those deadbeats.
I'll be totally deadbeat next year and go because I'm really, really, really missing not going to Pooza. So. Oh, Crusades are playing, Careers in Science.
Like, hey, kid, you're a year old now. You're on your own.
You're on your own. I'm going to a punk rock show. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So, anyways, Pooza is happening. So, should we play another song before we get the last story?
Oh, hey, quick related bit. I still go on Turntable FM because I'm a nerd like that, but I played some Slapstick and Broadways today, so that's kind of related. Were you guys into the Broadways?
Yeah, I like the Broadways.
Fuck, man. I think, like, I never was huge into the Lawrence Arms, and I think that's because I grew up on Brendan Kelly stuff, and I already had gotten so much of his voice by the time the Lawrence Arms came around. I'm like, I think I've had enough of that.
You know what band from that era I like? Baxter.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Was that the band with the guy with Tim McAuliffe or whatever his name was?
I don't know if he was in that one, but those dudes, like did the Killing Tree with him, which is, like, one of the greatest things to ever come out of that area ever.
There you go. Do we have a song?
Let's just do this last story, then we'll fucking play something.
We've planned for this show for a long time.
We're being way too efficient. I don't like this.
Can we have a storm noise?
Oh, yeah, we could do that. See what else I got up here. we could do some ukulele. Could do some. I got some.
Ukulele is totally not Quiet Storm. Let me tell you.
Well, it could be a little soothing Hawaii. You know, winds rolling in off the beach. You know, soothe everyone into a gentle slumber. I don't know what I'm talking about. Go to the next story.
All right, here we go. So, a fan of the band Vaccines was turned away from their gig in Llandudno, wherever the fuck it's called, North Wales, this week, for allegedly failing to relay facts about the band when asked. This comes from a report in NME. A student from the also hard to pronounce town of Wrexham, named Andy Bell's claims.
Rectum? Did you say Rectum?
Yes. Rexham.
You're Rectum.
That's close to Rectum.
Rexham affects him.
Yeah. So the boy from Rectum claimed that he was pulled aside by security at the door, and upon failing to name either of the band's frontmen or either of their two albums, was told that he would not be allowed into the venue, which is actually called Venue Crimew, despite holding a valid ticket, which was worth £18, which in American dollars is like $700. we're all about facts on these podcasts. So anyways, so the student said that the venue staff told him and his friend that they were profiling people as they believed that pickpockets were active in the area. Presumably, the profile they were using precluded the existence of thieves with a ready knowledge of English indie punk acts. So the NME quotes a spokesperson for the venue who said the following. They said, "We received information that there would be pickpockets at the gig, so we worked in conjunction with our security firm, which is Shosec, and the police, who ensured that our customers were safe inside the venue. Some customers were asked to name the band that they were coming to see that evening, but nobody was turned away for not knowing the answer or any other knowledge of the band. 2,500 people attended the concert, and of those people, six were turned away at the door. It does appear that of those six, there was a mistake made and that two genuine fans were turned away. Those fans will receive an apology and will be refunded."
Can I start slicing this to bits now?
You may start slicing this to bits. What the fuck?
All right. First of all, if I'm a pickpocket, okay, what I'm doing is I'm trying to steal your ticket to sell it to someone. I'm not stealing your ticket to get into the show. However, if I'm stealing your ticket to get into the show, it's probably because I want to go see the show, and I probably know something about the band. So,
what if you're going to the show to pickpocket people?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, okay, so they paid for the ticket, and they think they're going to make enough profit off of lifting people's wallets.
Is that what they're saying here? Is that they were trying to get into pickpocket inside? I thought they meant to like sell it or something. That's
Yeah, wow. So that's not a cheap ticket. You're going to go in there and hope that the couple wallets you successfully grab have.
I mean, here's another thing I can see to this. Like, I could see, like, if there's 2,500 people there, and let's say this thing's going on, like, a block away from you or something, even if you don't know who the band is, if you're a young male, perhaps, maybe you know there's going to be lots of females there. You want to go and maybe meet some females. So, yeah, you get a ticket and go. I mean, you don't know who the fuck it is. You just want to meet some people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it happens less with, I guess, you know, indie or in the indie and punk scene. I mean, a lot of people will go see a big band. I mean, there's a lot of casual rock fans out there, but they mostly listen to mainstream music. They might go see Maroon 5, and they're like, oh, I like that one song on the radio. And they can't even name, you know, the lead singer. But it happens a little less with bands like this because it's such kind of a niche thing that
it's
usually
2,500 people though.
No. I know that is a big show, but it's a band that it's a band that I've never listened to. But chances are, the people who do listen to it are fans enough that they would know these kind of facts because it's not like it's not a band that's so big you're just going to go casually because you've heard them on the radio. They're not on. I'm guessing they're not on the major stations in wherever the hell this is.
I'll give you an example. I could not tell you who the lead singer is or any band member of the Arcade Fire, of the Hold Steady, but there's instances where I could potentially go.
Sure.
I think all of this really comes back to the fact that if I get to the door to something and I have a legitimate ticket for it, and you ask me any sort of stupid password bullshit, well, fuck you, I have a ticket. I don't understand where they would really get off doing anything like this because there's so many holes in it. I mean, yeah, what if I'm going to the show because my brother is at the show and we're going to see a show and I don't even know anything about the fucking band, right? Like, there are so many reasons people could go to a show without knowing anything. On top of the fact that I go to shows all the time where, again, yeah, I don't know any of the I don't know any of the band's records or, you know, or who's in the band or anything like that because, you know, I fucking don't. And I don't really feel that I would need to justify to anyone my worthiness to go into something that I'm paid to go into. So that's just clownish. Yeah.
This wouldn't happen in America, I'll tell you that, man.
Well, freedom. No. Yeah, well, let me just say I'm not defending what they're doing at this venue. I just think that you're less likely to get random people in a show when it's something indie or punk as opposed to, you know, whatever mainstream, easy listening, blah, 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 people that just, you know, stuff's playing on the radio and they don't know who it is because it's just on the radio being fed to them. You know, with this kind of band, they're the kind of band that you usually need to search out or someone's told you about it, you know, person to person, or you heard about it on a blog or something where you're gonna know a little bit more about them just because you're actively searching out music. You know what I mean?
I guess the other two parts of this that are odd are, one, you know, how do you screen for pickpockets? You can't like metal detect someone and go, oh yeah, they hear this guy's, you know, he's got a pocket pick. So
their fingers are wiggling. They're like,
right. So you're going to scream for intent with people at the door, which is ridiculous because how do you do that? And then the other thing is, how did they know that pickpockets were in the area? Like, I'm not grasping something about, that I guess like Welsh culture works, but do pickpockets like announce what's going on, or do they all like blow into town at the same time? Do they have like a Twitter account that's like, hey guys, we're gonna pickpocket this show tonight. Come on out.
No, it's
like,
obvious they did profiling. I mean, that's the only way they could do this is they found somebody who looked like they stood out. You know, there's a lot of kids here probably in skinny jeans and, you know, in neon colors or whatever the fuck the kids are wearing these days, and probably some thug-looking dudes rolled up, and they profiled them. I'm not justifying. I'm just telling you, that's probably how it went down.
Yeah, but what they said here is that the quote, we received information that there would be pickpockets at the gig. Like, what?
Yeah, is pickpocketing really a pre-planned thing other than just like an hour before? You're like, hey, I need $20. I'm going to go
this. I'm thinking of like the 1920s and like kids, like little like 8-year-old kids running around New York in gangs who are like, excuse me, governor. And like one of them's talking, the other one's like going behind him and like getting his, you know, like a big pickpocket gang.
Right, or like you bump into someone. Is that Gangs in New York where Cameron Diaz keeps bumping into people and robbing them? Yeah.
I just imagine that all of these pickpockets were wearing like newsy caps.
Yes.
And that's how you knew.
Vests and slacks. How they knew it was them at the door. They were wearing slacks and a vest and a newsy cap.
I'm here to see the show, Governor.
Oh.
Oh, the UK.
Yeah, that's bullshit. basically.
Where's Andy? He should be on here. He can explain his people.
They probably have some like weird word for them over there, like wallet wankers or something like that. They were gypsies. They don't let them do anything.
Oh boy. So I don't know. That's all that we really wanted to talk about this week. What's going on with you guys? Anything to announce? Anything you want to talk about? Anything the people need to know?
Check out the new upcoming episode of Two Gregs One Podcast that our friend Adam White is going to post here any day now.
Like yeah.
He probably posted it before this posted because he's just cool like that. But yeah, we review the new Low record on Sub Pop, which is pretty good. They're almost Canadian. They're from Minnesota.
No one in Canada considers Minnesota almost Canada.
We consider it almost Canada because they talk like you.
That'd be a
great... Speaking of Canada, plug-in podcasts and all this, we've got a couple episodes of Some Party, which is the Ontario podcast that I do and then like didn't do for like most of a year. They're coming up.
It's coming back. Nice.
It's coming back, but yeah, it's more specifically coming back in the next few weeks. We're going to profile a bunch of the bands that are playing the Punk News sponsored Scene Music Festival here in St. Catharines. So yeah, I'm going to use that as an excuse to get off my ass and actually record more of those. So if you've never listened to that show, we try to keep them so that they're, you know, no more than half hour long. It's mostly music. We play 4, 5, 6 songs and get the hell out, and that's the intent. So there you go.
Our podcast is mostly talking.
Well, I figure this one is mostly talking. No one wants to listen to me talk to myself.
Yeah, I guess when you're doing it by yourself, it's a little harder. Yeah. It starts to feel scripted no matter what.
I don't have one of those storm drums or anything.
I've got some Brazilian stuff here, too. I could play some Brazilian percussion. But for now, I'll just do this.
It almost sounds like you're flushing a toilet.
Maybe I am. Adam's recording from the laundry room. Maybe I'm recording this on the can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm naked right now, guys. I'm naked.
All right. I think it's time to end this thing.
Gonna wrap it up. I had to try and derail this thing at some point.
Wrap it up, B. All right. So I guess we'll play another song, hopefully, and then Adam will be back up to summarize or some shit like that.
I suppose.
Yep, there you go. Pro gear, pro attitude. See you later, kids.
Bye.
Punk news. Punk news. What's up, punk news? This is features editor John Gentile, and I know you're missing me on the podcast this week. I know you're like, where's John? We want to hear John talk about Amoebics, and we want to hear John talk about the Melvins. But you know what? I can't always be there for you. You need to learn to support yourself. I know it might seem mean and cold and nasty now, but you'll thank me in the long run. But in the meantime, I've brought you a little something to tide you over. I'm bringing you a track from a band called Minor Arcana. Minor Arcana is a side project of Matthew Landis of the World Inferno Friendship Society. They're working on their second album, and right now, they're trying to make enough money to put out their second record. The second record is going to be called Days Between Stations, and right now, they're doing a pledge music to get this record released. So far, they've put out a demo, which I'm going to play for you right now. The demo is called Pharmacy for Phantoms, and I got to say, I'm pretty surprised by it, because it's kind of like a mix of Blue Oyster Cult, King Crimson, Deep Purple, and all that wild 70s heavy metal / prog rock stuff. It's really interesting. Oh, there's a touch of Black Sabbath in there too. If you do like this music, I highly recommend that you do go to the Pledge Music website for the band Minor Arcana. That's MINORARCANA, because they've got some neat bonuses. The one that I'm really eyeing up is where you get the album and some other stuff, but you also get a full covers album featuring covers recorded by Eric Peterson of Mischief Brew and Jack Terrycloth of one of my favorite bands, World Inferno Friendship Society. Mischief Brew is one of my very favorite bands too. So, I mean, honestly, that thing is blowing my mind if it gets made. Right now, doesn't look like they've got a whole lot of people pledging money for them, so I hope they pick up some more pledgers because there's only about a month left and they're only about 20% of the goal. And I'd really love to hear this album by the band because it's a real interesting mix of punk rock and prog rock and heavy metal. But also, I really, really want to hear the Jack Terrycloth, Eric Peterson cover CD, which I think would be really awesome. So once again, this is the demo for the album that Minor Arcana is trying to make. And the demo is called Pharmacy for Phantoms. Check it out.
It's dogs upon us. Throw some more wood on the fire and rest your charity atop it. Countless times and dead in eyes.
I say before it's a meeting room. It's a laughter of children. It's a
the skin glistens and rest stop lighting. Freeze the power, break or bend. Only one way for us to find out. Fist or finger on the men.
Nothing has left to steal me away. There's tears on my
guys, that was our show. Thanks for listening to the Punk News Podcast once again. My name's Adam White. I'm recording in Niagara Falls. Thanks to Sound Guy Nariman for assembling the show every week. Thanks to Scotty from Death of False Hope Records for providing us with our theme music. Thanks to all the bands and labels that contributed music for this week's show, if they did, I'm not quite sure. Thanks for Greg Simpson for the Quiet Storm percussion.
No problem.
You just have to make it happen, then.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Fucking amateur hour around here. All right, we'll see you guys next week.